That this signifies the acknowledgement of the related good is evident in like manner from what results from the signification of these words in the internal sense. It is reciprocal acknowledgement which is thus described. It is evident that the subject here treated of is the good's choice, which choice precedes the marriage of good and truth. 3806. He ran to meet him. That this signifies agreement is evident from the signification of to run to meet as being agreement, for it looks to conjunction, concerning which below. It is well known that agreement or similitude conjoins. 3807. And embraced him. That this signifies affection is evident from the signification of embracing as being affection, for interior affection falls into this gesture, every affection having gestures in the body which correspond to it. That affection in general is expressed by embracing is well known. 3808. And kissed him. That this signifies initiation is evident from the signification of kissing as being conjunction from affection. See number 3573, 3574, 3800. Here, initiation into this conjunction, for initiation is precedent to conjunction. 3809. And brought him to his house. That this signifies to conjunction is evident from the signification of bringing to a house as being to himself, for in the internal sense man himself is called a house. Number 3128, 3142, 3538. And this from good, which properly is a house. Number 2233, 2234, 3652, 3720. In the present case, therefore, the signification is to the good which is represented by Laban, so that by bringing to his house is here signified conjunction. There is here fully described in the internal sense the process of the conjunction of natural good which is Jacob with collateral good which is Laban. The following five things constitute this process, namely mutual acknowledgement, agreement, affection, initiation, and conjunction. Mutual acknowledgement was signified by Rachel running and telling her father, and by Laban hearing the report of Jacob his sister's son. Number 3804, 3805. Agreement was signified by Laban running to meet him. Number 3806. Affection by Laban embracing him. 3807. Initiation by his kissing him. Number 3808. And conjunction by his bringing him to his house, as here stated. 3810. And he told Laban all these words. That this signifies from truths, that is, that the acknowledgement, agreement, affection, initiation, and conjunction were therefrom, is evident from the series, and also from the words as explained according to the internal sense, whereof this is the conclusion. See what was said just above, number 3804. 3811. Verses 14 and 15. And Laban said to him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he dwelt with him a month of days. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall be thy reward? And Laban said to him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh, signifies conjoined in respect to truths and to goods. And he dwelt with him a month of days, signifies a new state of life. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, signifies because they have blood relationship from good. Shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall be thy reward? Signifies that there must be a means of conjunction. 3812. And Laban said to him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. That this signifies conjoined in respect to truths and to goods is evident from the signification of the words, Thou art my bone and my flesh, as being conjunction. The ancients had this form of speaking concerning those who were of one house, or of one family, or in some relationship, My bone and my flesh, see number 157. And hence by these words is signified conjunction. The reason why it signifies as to truths and as to goods is that all spiritual conjunction is affected by these, and all natural conjunction has relation to the same. Moreover, by bone and flesh is signified what is man's proprium, by bone the proprium of his understanding, and by flesh the proprium of his will. Thus by bone is signified what is his proprium in respect of truth, for this is of the understanding, and by flesh is signified what is his proprium in respect to good, for this is of the will. Number 148, 149. As regards man's proprium in general, it is of two kinds, one infernal and the other celestial. That which is infernal is received by man from hell, and that which is celestial from heaven, that is, through heaven from the Lord. For all evil, as well as all the derivative falsity, flows in from hell, and all good and the derivative truth from the Lord. This is known to men from the doctrine of faith, but scarcely one in 10,000 believes it. For this reason, man appropriates to himself or makes his own the evil which flows in from hell, and the good which flows in from the Lord does not affect him, consequently is not imputed to him. The reason why man does not believe that evil flows in from hell and good from the Lord is that he is in the love of self, which love carries this with it, insomuch that it is exceedingly indignant when it is said that everything inflows. This, therefore, is the reason why all that is man's proprium is nothing but evil. See number 210, 215, 694, 731, 874 to 876, 987, 1023, 1044, and 1047. But that man believes that evil is from hell and good from the Lord comes from the fact that he is not in the love of self, but in love toward his neighbor and in love to the Lord. For this love is attended with such a belief. Thus it is that man receives from the Lord a celestial proprium, concerning which see above number 155, 164, 731, 1023, 1044, 1937, 1947, 2882, 2883, 2891. In both senses, this proprium is signified by bone and flesh, and consequently by bones in the word is signified truth, and in the opposite sense falsity, and by flesh good, and in the opposite sense evil. That this is the signification of bones may be seen from the following passages in Isaiah. Yehovah shall lead thee continually, and shall satisfy thy soul in droughts, and shall make strong thy bones, that thou mayest be like a watered garden. 58 verse 11. Where making strong the bones signifies to make alive the proprium of the understanding, that is, to enlighten it with intelligence, whence it is said, that thou mayest be like a watered garden. That a garden signifies intelligence may be seen above number 100, 108, 1588. Again, then ye shall see, and your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like the grass. 66 verse 14, whereby bones flourishing like the grass, the like is signified as above. In Jeremiah, her Nazarites were whiter than snow, they were fairer than milk. Their bones were more ruddy than gems, a sapphire was their polishing. Their form is darker than blackness, they are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bone, it is withered, it is become like wood. Lamentations 4, verses 7 and 8. The Nazarite denotes the celestial man, number 3301. Whiter than snow and fairer than milk, denotes to be in celestial truth. And because this truth is from the love of good, it is said that their bones were more ruddy than gems. Whiteness and fairness are predicated of truth, number 3301. Ruddiness of good, number 3300, gems of truth, which are from good, number 114. By their skin cleaving to their bone is described a changed state as to the celestial things of love, namely, that there was no flesh on the bones, that is, no longer any good. For then all truth becomes like skin which cleaves to the bone. It is withered and becomes like wood. In Ezekiel, Utter a parable against the rebellious house, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord Yehoweh, Set on the cauldron, set it on, and also pour waters into it, gathering the pieces thereof into it, every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder, fill it with the choice bones, taking the choice of the flock. And let there be also a hearth of bones under it, let the bones also be boiled in the midst of it. 24 verses 3 to 5 and 10. Where a cauldron signifies violence offered to good and truth, wherefore it is called a city of bloods. Verse 6. The pieces, the good piece, the thigh, and the shoulder gathered into it, are flesh by which are meant goods. The choice bones with which the cauldron was filled denote truths. A hearth of bones, the affection of truth. The bones being boiled in the midst of it, violence offered to truths. Everyone can see that divine arcana are stored within this parable, and also that these arcana can in no wise be known unless it is known what is signified in the internal sense by a cauldron or pot, by pieces, by thigh and shoulder, by choice bones, by a hearth of bones, and by boiling. In Micah, it is for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them, and their flesh from off their bones, who have eaten the flesh of my people, and have flayed their skin from off them, and have broken their bones, and have divided them as into the pot, and as flesh in the midst of the cauldron. 3 verses 1 to 3, where the signification is the same. In Ezekiel, He brought me out in the spirit of Yehovah, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he said unto me, Shall these bones live? He said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Yehovah. Thus saith the Lord Yehoweh unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, that ye may live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come up upon you, and will cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that ye may live. I prophesied, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I beheld, and lo, there were sinews upon them, and flesh came up, and skin covered them above. And there was no breath in them. And breath came into them, and they revived, and stood upon their feet. 37 verses 1, 3 to 8, and 10. The subject here treated of in general is the setting up again of the church among the Gentiles, and in particular, the regeneration of man. Dry bones denote the proprium of the understanding, which is inanimate before it receives the life of good from the Lord, but is thereby animated or made alive. The flesh which the Lord causes to come up upon the bones is the proprium of the will, which is called the celestial proprium, and thus signifies good. Breath is the Lord's life, and when this inflows into that good of the man which he seems to himself to will and do from his proprium, the good is then vivified, and from the good the truth, and out of the dry bones there is made a man. In David, All my bones are unloosed, my heart has become like wax, I can number all my bones. They have parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture have they cast a lot. Psalm 22, verses 14, 17, and 18. Where the subject is the Lord's temptations as to divine truths, which were the Lord's proprium, and hence are called my bones, and as to divine good, which was the Lord's proprium, and hence is called my heart. That the heart signifies good may be seen above, number 3313, 3635. And because bones signify these truths, the numbering of which denotes to desire to dissipate them through reasonings and falsities, therefore there immediately follow the words, They parted my garments and cast a lot upon my vesture. For garments also signify truths, but exterior ones. Number 297, 1073, 2576. Dividing them and casting a lot upon the vesture involves the like, as also in Matthew 27, verse 35. Again, my soul exulteth in Yahuwah, it shall be glad in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Who is like unto thee? Psalm 35, verses 9 and 10. Where it is evident that in the spiritual sense, bones denote the proprium of the understanding. Again, Thou shalt cause me to hear joy and gladness, the bones which thou hast bruised shall exult. Psalm 51, verse 8. Where the exulting of the bones which were bruised signifies recreation through truths after temptations. As bones signify the proprium of the understanding, that is the proprium as to truth, and in the supreme sense the divine truth which was the Lord's proprium, it was for this reason ordained as a statute of the Passover that they should not break a bone of the paschal lamb, concerning which we read in Moses, In one house shall it be eaten, thou shalt not carry forth of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Exodus 12, verse 46. And in another place, They shall not leave of it until the morning, nor break a bone thereof. Numbers 9, verse 12. Not to break a bone in the supreme sense signifies not to do violence to truth divine, and in the representative sense, not to do violence to the truth of any good whatever. For the quality of good and the form of good are from truths, and truth is the support of good, as bones are of flesh. That the Word, which is divine truth itself, vivifies the dead, was represented by the man reviving and standing upon his feet, who, when cast into the sepulchre of Elisha, touched his bones. Second Book of Kings 13, verse 21. That Elisha represented the Lord as to truth divine, or the Word, may be seen above, number 2762. That in the opposite sense bones signify the falsity which is from man's proprium is manifest from the following passages. In Jeremiah, In that time they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, out of their sepulchres. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon, and all the army of the heavens which they have loved, and which they have served. 8 verses 1 and 2. In Ezekiel, I will lay the carcasses of the sons of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. 6 verse 5. In Moses, God who brought him forth out of Egypt, He hath as it were the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations his enemies, and shall break their bones, and shall destroy their arrows. Numbers 24, verse 8. In the second book of Kings, Josiah the king brake in pieces the pillars, and cut down the groves, and filled their place with the bones of man. He took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, that he might defile it. He sacrificed all the priests of the high places who were there upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them. 23 verses 14, 16, and 20. In Moses, The soul that hath touched upon the surface of the field one that is slain with the sword, or one dead, or the bone of a man, or a sepulchre, shall be unclean 7 days. Numbers 19 verses 16 and 18. As bones signify falsities, and sepulchres the evils in which they are, and as hypocrisy is evil appearing outwardly as good, but is inwardly defiled with things false and profane, therefore the Lord says in Matthew, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make yourselves like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear just unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. 23 verses 27 and 28. From these passages it is now evident that by bones is signified the proprium of the understanding, both as to truth and as to falsity. 3813. As regards flesh in the supreme sense, it signifies the proprium of the Lord's divine human, which is divine good. And in the relative sense, it signifies the proprium of man's will made alive by the proprium of the divine human, that is, by his divine good. This proprium is what is called the celestial proprium, which in itself is the Lord's alone, appropriated to those who are in good and thence in truth. Such a proprium have the angels who are in the heavens, and men who, as to their interiors or as to the spirit, are in the Lord's kingdom. But in the opposite sense, flesh signifies the proprium of man's will, which in itself is nothing but evil, and not being vivified by the Lord is called dead, and thus the man himself is said to be dead. That in the supreme sense flesh is the proprium of the Lord's divine human, thus his divine good, is evident from the Lord's words in John. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove one with another, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus therefore said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. This is the bread which came down from heaven. 6:51-56 and 58. That here flesh is the proprium of the Lord's divine human, thus the divine good, is very evident. And this is what in the Holy Supper is called the body. That in the Holy Supper the body or flesh signifies the divine good, and the blood the divine truth, may be seen above number 1798, 2165, 2177, 3464, 3735. And because bread and wine signify the same as flesh and blood, namely, bread the Lord's divine good and wine his divine truth, therefore the latter were enjoined instead of the former. This is the reason why the Lord said, I am the living bread. The bread which I shall give is my flesh. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. This is the bread which came down from heaven. That to eat signifies to be communicated and to be conjoined and to be appropriated. See above number 2187, 2343, 3168, 3513, 3596. The same was represented in the Jewish church by the ordinance that Aaron, his sons, and they who sacrificed, and others who were clean, might eat the flesh of the sacrifices, and that this was holy. Exodus 12:7-9, 29:30-34, Leviticus 7:15-21, 8:31, Deuteronomy 12:27, 16:4. If therefore an unclean person ate of that flesh, he was to be cut off from his people, Leviticus 7:21. That these sacrifices were called bread may be seen above number 2165. That flesh was called the flesh of holiness, Jeremiah 11:15, Haggai 2:12, and the flesh of the offering which was on the tables in the Lord's kingdom, see Ezekiel 40:43, where the new temple is described, by which there is evidently signified the worship of the Lord in his kingdom. That in the relative sense, flesh signifies the proprium of man's will made alive by the Lord's divine good, is evident also from the following passages. In Ezekiel, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit in the midst of you, and I will remove the heart of stone out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. 11:19, 36:26. Where the heart of stone out of their flesh denotes the will of the proprium not vivified, and the heart of flesh, the will and the proprium vivified. That the heart is a representative of the good of the will may be seen above number 29:30, 33:13, 36:35. In David, O God, thou art my God, in the morning I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry land, and I am weary without waters. Psalm 63, verse 1. Again, my soul longeth for the courts of Yahuwah, my heart and my flesh cry out for joy unto the living God. Psalm 84, verse 2. In Job, I have known my Redeemer, he liveth, and at the last he shall rise upon the dust, and afterwards these things shall be encompassed with my skin, and from my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. 19 verses 25 to 27. To be encompassed with skin denotes with the natural, such as man has with him after death. Number 35:39. From the flesh to see God denotes the proprium vivified. Therefore he says, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. As it was known to the churches that flesh signified man's proprium, and as the book of Job is a book of the ancient church, see number 35:40, he therefore spoke concerning these things from what is significative, as concerning many other things, in accordance with the custom of that time, so that those who deduce from this passage that the dead body itself shall be collected from the four winds and shall rise again are not acquainted with the internal sense of the word. They who know the internal sense know that they shall come into the other life with a body, but a purer one, for in the other life there are purer bodies. For they see each other, converse together, and enjoy every sense as in the present body, but in a more exquisite degree. The body which man carries about here on earth is for uses on earth, and therefore consists of bones and flesh. And the body which the spirit carries about in the other life is designed for uses in that life, and does not consist of bones and flesh, but of things which correspond to them. Number 37:26. That in the opposite sense, flesh signifies the proprium of man's will, which in itself is nothing but evil, is evident from the following passages. In Isaiah, they shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. 9 verse 20. Again, I will feed their oppressors with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with new wine. 49 verse 26. In Jeremiah, I will feed them with the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat everyone the flesh of his companion. 19 verse 9. In Zechariah, let those who are left eat everyone the flesh of another. 11 verse 9. In Moses, I will chastise you 7 times for your sins, and ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. Leviticus 26, verses 28 and 29. The proprium of man's will, that is, the nature of man, is thus described. For this is nothing else than evil and the derivative falsity. Thus is hatred against truths and goods, which is signified by eating the flesh of his arm, the flesh of sons and daughters, and the flesh of a companion. In John, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a great voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses and of them that sit thereon, and the flesh of all, both free and bond, both small and great. Revelation 19, verses 17 and 18, Ezekiel 39, verses 17 to 20. That here by the flesh of kings, of captains, of mighty men, of horses, and of those that sit upon them, of all both free and bond, are not signified such things as these, must be evident to everyone. Thus that by flesh are signified other things which have hitherto been unknown. That evils which are from falsities, and evils from which are falsities, both from the proprium of man's will, are signified, is manifest from the several expressions. As in the internal sense, the falsity which results from the proprium of man's understanding is blood, and as the evil which results from the proprium of his will is flesh. Therefore the Lord speaks as follows concerning the man who is to be regenerated. As many as received, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, who were born not of bloods, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1, verses 12 and 13. Hence it is that by flesh in general is meant every man. See number 574, 1050. For whether you say man or man's proprium, it is the same thing. That by flesh in the supreme sense is signified the Lord's divine human is manifest from the passage above quoted, and also from this in John. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. 1 verse 14. From this flesh all flesh is vivified, that is to say, every man is vivified from the Lord's divine human by the appropriation of his love, which appropriation is signified by eating the flesh of the Son of Man, John 6 verses 51 to 58, and by eating the bread in the Holy Supper, for the bread is the body or flesh, Matthew 26 verses 26 and 27. 3814, and he dwelt with him a month of days. That this signifies a new state of life is evident from the signification of dwelling as being life. See number 1293, 3384, 3613. And from the signification of a month of days as being a new state. That all times denote states, see above. Number 1274, 1382, 2625, 2788, 2837, 3254, 3356, 3404. And therefore, so do years, months, and days. But the quality of the states signified is evident from the numbers affixed. But when a year, month, or day is mentioned in the singular number, it signifies an entire state. Thus the end of the preceding and the beginning of the subsequent state, as has been shown above throughout the explications. Here therefore by a month is signified the end of the preceding and the beginning of the subsequent state, thus a new state, as also in other parts of the word, as in Isaiah. At last it shall come to pass from month to its month, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to bow themselves down before me, saith Yahuwah. 66 verse 23. In John, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, going forth from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and of the river, on this side and on that, was the tree of life, bearing 12 fruits, yielding its fruit every month. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Yielding its fruit every month signifies a state ever new in regard to the reception of good and the practice thence resulting. In Moses, number the sons of Levi by their father's house and by their families. Every male from a month old and upward thou shalt number them. Number every firstborn male of the sons of Israel, from the son of a month and upward, and take the number of their names. Numbers 3, verses 15 and 40. It was because the end of a preceding and the beginning of a subsequent state, that is a new state, was signified by a month, that it was commanded that their numbering should be from the son of a month and upward. Again, if thou seest among the captives a woman beautiful in form, and thou hast a desire unto her, and wouldest take her to thee to wife, she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her, and shall sit in thy house, and bewail her father and her mother a month of days. And after that thou shalt go in unto her, and shalt know her, and she shall be unto thee for a wife. Deuteronomy 21, verses 11 and 13. Where a month of days plainly denotes the end of a preceding and the beginning of a subsequent or new state. 3815. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother. That this signifies because they have blood relationship from good is evident from the representation of Laban as being the collateral good of a common stock, and from the representation of Jacob as being the good of the natural, concerning which see above, and from the signification of brother as being good, number 3803. Here, consanguineous good, because it is said by Laban to Jacob, consequently, by good to good. Moreover, all blood relationship derives its origin from good, for good is of love. The nearest degree of love in the descending line is called blood relationship, and is understood in the proper sense by brother. That in the spiritual world or in heaven, no other consanguinities and affinities exist than those of love to the Lord and of love toward the neighbor, or what is the same, of good, has been made manifest to me by the fact that all the societies which constitute heaven, and which are innumerable, are perfectly distinguished from one another in accordance with the degrees and differences of love, and thence of the derivative faith. See number 685, 917, 2739, 3612. And also from the fact that they recognize each other, not from any relationship that had existed in the life of the body, but solely from good and the derivative truth. A father does not recognize a son or a daughter, nor a brother or sister, nor even a husband or wife, unless they have been in similar good. They indeed meet when they first come into the other life, but are soon dissociated. For good itself, or love and charity, determines and assigns everyone to his own society. The blood relationship commences in the society in which each person is, and from this proceed the other relationships, even to the circumferences. 3816. Shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall be thy reward? That this signifies that there must be a means of conjunction is evident from the signification of serving for naught as being without any obligation, and from the signification of reward as being a means of conjunction. Reward is occasionally mentioned in the word, and in the internal sense signifies nothing else than a means of conjunction. The reason is that the angels are utterly unwilling to hear anything about a reward, as being on account of anything in them. Nay, they are utterly averse to the idea of reward for any good or good action. For they know that with everyone that which is his proprium is nothing but evil, and that therefore whatever they do from their proprium would be attended with that which is contrary to reward, and that all good is from the Lord and flows in, and this solely from mercy. Thus, that is not from themselves, for which they would think of reward. In fact, good itself becomes not good when reward for it is thought of, for then a selfish end instantly adjoins itself. And in so far as this is the case, it induces a denial that the good is from the Lord and from mercy. Consequently, so far it removes the influx, and of course so far removes from itself heaven and the bliss which are in good and its affection. The affection of good, that is, love to the Lord and love toward the neighbor, has bliss and happiness within it, these being within the affection and love itself. To do anything from affection and its bliss, and to do it at the same time for the sake of reward, are things diametrically opposed to each other. Hence it is that when reward is mentioned in the word, the angels do not perceive anything of reward, but that which is bestowed gratis and of mercy by the Lord. Nevertheless, reward is of service as a means of conjunction with those who have not yet been initiated. For they who are not as yet initiated in good and its affections, that is, who are not yet fully regenerated, cannot do otherwise than think about reward, because the good which they do not from the affection of good, but from the affection of bliss and happiness for the sake of self, and at the same time from the fear of hell. But when a man is being regenerated, this is inverted and becomes the affection of good, and then he no longer looks to reward. This may be illustrated by what passes in civic life. He who loves his country and has such an affection toward it as to find a pleasure in promoting its good from goodwill would lament if this should be denied him, and would entreat that there might be granted the opportunity to do good to it. For this is the object of his affection, consequently the source of his pleasure and bliss. Such a one is also honored, and is exalted to posts of dignity. For to him these are means of serving his country, although they are called rewards. But those who have no affection for their country, but only an affection of self and the world, are moved to take action for the sake of honors and wealth, which also they regard as the ends. Such persons set themselves before their country, that is, their own good before the common good, and are relatively sordid. And yet they, more than all others, are desirous to make it appear that they do what they do from a sincere love. But when they think privately about it, they deny that anyone does this, and marvel that anyone can. They who are such in the life of the body with regard to their country or the public good are such also in the other life with regard to the Lord's kingdom. For every one's affection or love follows him, because affection or love is the life of every one. 3817, verses 16 and 17. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, and Rachel was beautiful in form and beautiful in look. And Laban had two daughters, signifies the affections of truth from the good which is from a common stock. The name of the elder was Leah, signifies the affection of external truth with its quality. And the name of the younger was Rachel, signifies the affection of internal truth with its quality. And Leah's eyes were weak, signifies that the affection of external truth is such in regard to the understanding of it. And Rachel was beautiful in form and beautiful in look, signifies that the affection of internal truth is such in regard to what is spiritual. 3818. And Laban had two daughters. That this signifies the affections of truth from the good which is from a common stock is evident from the representation of Laban as being the good of a common stock, but collaterally descended. See number 3612, 3665, 3778. And from the signification of daughters as being affections, number 2362. In the present case, the affections of truth from the good which is Laban, number 3793. 3819. The name of the elder was Leah. That this signifies the affection of external truth with its quality, and that the name of the younger was Rachel signifies the affection of internal truth with its quality, is evident from the representation of Leah as being the affection of external truth, and of Rachel as being the affection of internal truth. See number 3793. And from the signification of name as being quality. Number 144, 145, 1754, 1896, 2009, 2724, 3006. Leah is called the elder because external truth is first learned, and Rachel is called the younger because internal truth is learned afterwards. Or what is the same, man is first affected with external truths and afterwards with internal ones. For external truths are the planes of internal ones, being generals into which singulars are insinuated. For without a general idea of a thing, man comprehends nothing that is singular. This is the reason why, in the literal sense of the word, there are general, but in the internal sense, singular truths. The former are those called external truths, but the latter internal ones. And as truths without affection are not truths because of no life, therefore when mention is made of external and internal truths, the affections of them are understood. 3820. And Leah's eyes were weak. That this signifies that the affection of external truth is such in regard to the understanding of it is evident from the representation of Leah as being the affection of external truth, see number 3793. From the signification of eyes as being the understanding, number 2701. And from the signification of weak as being relatively such. That the affections of external truth are weak in regard to the understanding, or what is the same, that they who are in them are so, may be seen from external, that is, general ideas that are not yet illustrated by singulars, in that they are infirm and wavering, and are, as it were, carried away by every breath of wind, or, in other words, suffer themselves to be drawn over to every opinion. Whereas when the same have been illustrated by singulars, they become firm and steadfast. For from these they have the things both essential and formal which are signified by the beautiful form and beautiful look of Rachel, by whom are represented the affections of interior truth. What is meant by external truths and their affections, and by internal truths and their affections, and by the former being relatively weak-eyed, and the latter beautiful in form and look, may be illustrated by an example. They who are in external truths know the mere general truth that good is to be done to the poor, and they do not know how to discern who are truly poor, and still less that by poor in the word are meant those who are spiritually so. In consequence of this, they do good alike to the evil and the good, not being aware that doing good to the evil is doing evil to the good, for thus there is given the evil the means of doing evil to the good. And therefore, they who are in such a simple zeal are subject to the greatest infestations from the cunning and deceitful. They, on the contrary, who are in internal truths, know who are the poor, and discriminate among them, and do good to everyone according to his quality. To take another example, they who are in external truths know the mere general truth that they ought to love their neighbor, and they believe that everyone is the neighbor in the same degree, and thus that everyone is to be embraced with the same love, and so they suffer themselves to be led astray. But they who are in internal truths know in what degree everyone is the neighbor, and that each person is so in a different degree. Consequently, they know innumerable things of which those who are in external truths are ignorant, and therefore they do not suffer themselves to be led away by the mere name of neighbor, nor to do evil from the persuasion of good which the name induces. To take yet another example, they who are in external truths alone suppose that in the other life the learned will shine like the stars, and that all who have labored in the Lord's vineyard will receive a reward above others. But they who are in internal truths know that by the learned, the wise, and the intelligent are signified those who are in good, whether they be in any human wisdom and intelligence or not, and that these shall shine as the stars. And that they who labor in the Lord's vineyard receive a reward each in accordance with the affection of good and truth from which he labors. And that they who labor for the sake of themselves in the world, that is, for the sake of self-exaltation and opulence, have their reward in the life of the body, but in the other life have their lot with the wicked. Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. Hence it is manifest how weak in understanding are they who are only in external truths, and that internal truths are what give to these essence and form, and also give quality to the good with them. Nevertheless, they who during their life in this world are in external truths and at the same time in simple good, in the other life receive internal truths and the consequent wisdom. For from simple good they are in a state and capacity of reception. 3821. And Rachel was beautiful in form and beautiful in look. That this signifies that the affection of interior truth is such in regard to what is spiritual is evident from what has just now been said above. By form is signified essence, and by look the derivative beauty. 3822, verses 18 to 20. And Jacob loved Rachel, And he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I should give her to thee than give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they were in his eyes as a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob loved Rachel, signifies the love of good toward internal truth. And he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel thy younger daughter, signifies study and at the same time a holy state in order to be conjoined with the internal truth. And Laban said, It is better that I should give her to thee than to give her to another man. Abide with me. Signifies a means of conjunction through interior truth with that good. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, signifies the accomplishment. And they were in his eyes as a few days for the love he had to her, signifies a state of love. 3823. And Jacob loved Rachel. That this signifies the love of good toward internal truth is evident from the representation of Jacob as being the good of the natural. See number 3599, 3659, 3775. And from the representation of Rachel as being the affection of internal truth, number 3793, 3819. In the present case, internal truth about to be conjoined with the good of the natural, with a view to which conjunction there was love. 3824. And he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel thy younger daughter. That this signifies study, and at the same time a holy state, in order to be conjoined with internal truth, is evident from the signification of serving as being study, and from the signification of seven as being that which is holy. See number 395, 433, 716, 881. And from the signification of years as being states, number 487, 488, 493, 893. That this was in order to conjunction is evident. Hence it is manifest that by I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel thy younger daughter signifies study and at the same time a holy state in order to be conjoined with internal truth. Internal truths are said to be conjoined with the natural when they are learned, acknowledged, and believed. In the natural man, that is, in the mem of this man, there are truths both external and internal, and they are there in form of memorized doctrinal things, but they have not been conjoined until the man is affected with them for the sake of the use of life, that is, until they are loved for the sake of life. For then good is coupled with them, whereby they are conjoined with the rational, consequently with the internal man. By this way, there is an influx of life into them from the Lord. 3825. And Laban said, It is better that I should give her to thee than give her to another man. Abide with me. That this signifies a means of conjunction through interior truth with that good is evident from the signification of reward in regard to which the reply and affirmation are made in these words, as being a means of conjunction. See number 3816. That Rachel, who is here meant by her, is interior truth, and that Jacob, who is here meant by thee, is good, has been shown above. In regard to the conjunction of the good which is Jacob with the good which is Laban, by means of interior truth which is Rachel, this is an arcanum which cannot easily be described to the apprehension. For in the first place there must be a clear idea of each good, and also of the affection of interior truth. Moreover, the understanding of every subject is according to the ideas, being none if there is no idea, obscure if the idea is obscure, perverted if the idea is perverted, and clear if the idea is clear. It is also according to the affections by which the idea, even if clear, is varied. We shall merely state that in every man who is being regenerated, the good of his natural, such as is here represented by Jacob, is conjoined first with good, such as is here represented by Laban, through the affection of interior truth, which is here represented by Rachel, and afterwards with the good of the rational and the truth thereof, which are Isaac and Rebekah. By means of this first conjunction, a man is in a state capable of receiving the internal or spiritual truths which are the means of the conjunction of the natural with the rational, that is, of the external man with the internal. 3826. And Jacob served for Rachel 7 years. That this signifies the accomplishment is evident from the signification of these words as being study and at the same time a holy state in order to be conjoined with internal truth. See number 3824. That here they signify the accomplishment of this thing is evident. 3827. And they were in his eyes as a few days for the love he had to her. That this signifies a state of love, namely that it was free from tedium, is evident from the signification of to be in his eyes as being to so appear, and from the signification of days as being states. See number 893, 2788, 3462, 3785. Hence, as a few days for the love he had to her, denotes a state of love. When man is in a state of love or of celestial affection, he is in an angelic state, that is to say, as if not in time, provided there is no impatience in the affection. For impatience is a corporeal affection, and in so far as man is in it, so far he is in time. But in so far as man is not in it, so far he is not in time. This appears in a kind of image from all the delights and gladnesses that belong to affection or love, in that when man is in them, he takes no note of time, for he is then in the internal man. By the affection of genuine love, man is withdrawn from bodily and worldly things, for his mind is elevated toward heaven, and thus is withdrawn from the things of time. The reason why time appears to be something is that we reflect upon things that do not belong to the affection or love, thus which are tedious. From this we can see what is signified by the 7 years being in his eyes as a few days for the love he had to her.